we are the ones that are going to transform the world. It doesn't matter whether you're a plant or a human being, we are the ones that bring forth life, so we have a viable role to play. And just like the issue of race, there have been some women who have put themselves in the victim mode. I remember talking to one of my mentors, a white South African woman who was instrumental in their post-apartheid movement. And I remember saying to her, I don't want to share my voice because I don't want to be labeled identity as the angry black woman. And she said to me, but why not? She says, you're angry, you're black, and you're female.
This is Leah Steele. Welcome to the Wealth Witch podcast. Just a few years ago, I experienced complete financial collapse. We lost a business, our home, and a car. My husband was selling plasma to pay for diapers and formula. I was living a life I hated, and I was miserable. It was the lowest part of my life. It ended up being my biggest blessing. Just a few short years later, I've designed the life of my dreams. I live a life of luxury in beautiful Bali, Indonesia, travel the world, and spend my days helping others manifest wealth and abundance. Living a purpose-led life changed everything for me. This podcast is about my journey, my top tips and tools for manifestation, and interviews with all the amazing, world-changing, inspiring people I meet along the way. Welcome to my world.
Hey, hey, and welcome to another episode of the Wealth Witch podcast. I am your host, Leah Steele, and today I am joined by the beautiful Nadine McNeil, the Universal Empress. Nadine is a personal development coach, wisdom mentor, and yoga teacher based here in beautiful Bali. She's actually up in Ubud and not too far from me. But we don't get to see each other as much as we would like, I think, because here in Bali, we sort of nestle into our own little areas and we don't tend to branch out that much. So Nadine, we definitely need to work on that, getting to actually see each other face to face more. But welcome. Welcome to the podcast. I'm so happy that you are here. I would love for you to just share a little bit more about who you are. We're going to be having this incredible conversation today about identity and race and leadership. So I would love for you to just share a little bit about who you are, your history, where you're from. I know that you've lived all over the world. You've had these incredible life experiences, but tell us a little bit about who you are.
Well, firstly, thank you so much, Leah, for having me here. Even though, as you rightfully say, we don't get to see each other as often as we would like, from the minute we met, it was like, boom, you know, meeting a fellow lioness and just really connecting at so many levels. So I'm super thrilled to be here. I am from Jamaica, Jamaican by birth, universal in outlook. I've been blessed to live all over the world, the United States, the Middle East, Africa, Haiti, here in Southeast Asia, Europe. And all of this globe-trotting was as a result of my former life when I worked with the United Nations for 22 years, mainly in the fields of emergency response and logistics. Like many of us listening on this program, there was a point at which I hit burnout, as it were, and I suppose it was at that point that yoga found me, or I found yoga. I had always had a fitness background. I was always a gym buff. I used to, you know, run half marathons, etc. So yoga was a natural and organic transition for me, the physical part. The real game changer for me, as far as the yoga was concerned, was that as I started to shift from the inside out, I recognized, A, who I was, that I had spent all of this time living a life according to the ideals of others. And so really reconnecting to my passion and my purpose, which led to me eventually leaving the UN system in 2012, returning to Jamaica, where I did a fair bit of volunteer and service work in orphanages and prisons, etc., with the yoga. And I'd always been traveling back and forth to Bali. I worked for UNICEF in Indonesia following the 2004 tsunami, where I headed up the emergency and response and logistics area or section. that allowed me to travel all over Indonesia. However, Bali was the place I always came to for R&R. And anyone that knows anything about Bali, prior to this pandemic, this was sort of the spiritual mecca for the Western world. So all of the best teachers rolled through here. I was a key part, I am a key part of the Bali Spirit Festival. And so when I had the opportunity to relocate here or settle here full time in 2015, it was an immediate yes. So up until this year, I'd spent about 9 months of the year here in Bali and then traveling, teaching in the US, Jamaica, and elsewhere. This was the year that I was supposed to blow up and be on just about every major conference and festival that you can think of. I'm super blessed that I was able to teach on the South Africa Spirit Festival, return to Bali on the 10th of March, and life changed on the 12th. So that's who I am in a nutshell. I'm also a writer, former writer with Elephant Journal. I've written for Medium, transformational speaker, and just, you know, my intention is to be a catalyst for change through my own change, inspiring others to step into the fullest expression of themselves.
Amazing. I'm so happy to have you here. So this conversation that we're going to be having today actually stemmed from the conversation that we had the first day that we met. And like you said, a dear friend of both of ours had been attempting to connect us for several months. And both of our schedules had kind of prohibited us from connecting. And then you finally walked into my house one afternoon, and it literally was like meeting this long lost member of your soul family. I mean, we just immediately hit it off and then dove into this couple of hour conversation about topics that are quite controversial that most people don't talk about the first time that they meet each other. And I mean, and we had conversations about everything from skin color to Black Lives Matter to this pandemic. And we reflected at the end of that conversation on how most people wouldn't be able to have this conversation. And I said, we've got to do this again on my podcast. So that's why we're here. I'd love to hear a little reflection from you on that initial conversation that we had, just your thoughts on meeting each other under those circumstances and then really being able to dive into that type of a dialogue and a conversation.
Well, one of the things I'll say first and foremost is that I always know that something greater than me is going to occur when there's like this static, like there's this energy where, you know, it's almost seismic, not wanting to call an earthquake in, but for us to align our schedules and get it together. And then once we actually met, I remember when you came down the stairs, I was struck by the presence of your eyes. You looked me straight in the eyes. There was no BS, and we immediately dropped into our exchange. And what I loved about that was it was almost like we were reflecting each other, as it were. We very quickly established that we were both Leos, which was like, ah, now I get what this energetic frequency is about. And this is one of the beauties I love when women meet in 2020, women who are about embodying the fullness of their feminine selves. We spoke about hormone issues. We spoke about physical issues. We spoke about the impact of Healy and how this had transformed your life. And I don't remember what the exact point was that I made or you made with regards to Black Lives Matter, but what we both came to was, hang on a minute, this is something that could go radically wrong, and that there's a role that as people of color, there's some self-responsibility that is required here as opposed to constantly diving into this victim mode. And so that kind of opened up the conversation. And you're right, there are not many places that allow me to say that. I was on a call earlier on today, And I have spent most of my life living in environments where most of the people didn't look like me. Not only didn't they look like me, I was in a predominantly white male dominated job where I had to show up and show up in a big way because people's lives depended on it. So, you know, my mission has always been about transcending that stereotype, as it were. So the fact that you saw me and felt me and we both kind of almost went, ah, finally, was just really opening. And then we just let it rip and it was really beautiful.
So I think it's so interesting. You keep coming back to this Leo thing because you said it that day as well. And I'm actually not a Leo. I'm a Sagittarius with a Virgo rising.
But that's it. It's the fire.
Yes. Yeah, it's the fire. But so we actually had, because you said, are you a Leo that day? And I was like, no, I'm a Sagittarius. But the other interesting thing is that I do have a lot of Lyran starseed energy. So I get mistaken for a Leo a lot because I've got that lion starseed energy that's quite powerful. So I'll take it, definitely. But yeah, I think that we both were able to really say a lot of things that we weren't able to say to a lot of people. And we delved into so many different topics from me growing up in a primarily white neighborhood school, being raised by white parents and essentially passing for a lot of my life to Black Lives Matter. And I think that this was right on the heels of the Tuesday blackout, which is why I think it came up. And so we were talking about that. So I want to just dive into this conversation again, because first of all, I know it's very important. And I continue to see Black people, and I actually really want to have a conversation with you about these labels of color actually today as well. But I continue to see Black people give their power away and hold on so tightly to their victim stories. And I think everyone can agree that in America, it's ripping the country apart. There is nothing positive that I see coming for Black Americans from the current state and current reality of how they are taking on the labels. I mean, it's just that it's the victim identity, essentially. So I'd love to hear from you on that. But I do want to talk about this before we even jump into that, because as of late, I've really been struggling with these labels of Black Americans, Black people, colored people. So talk to me a little bit about what you think about that. And do you feel that calling ourselves Black Americans, you're not American, obviously, but Black Americans, Black people, are we creating limitations and separation even in that?
Wow. So it's this question. As the former representative of the NAACP, I don't recall her name at the moment, when asked, is she African American? And she kept responding, I identify as Black. So what does identification mean? I think there's the aspect of looking at the syntax of the words that we use to describe ourselves. Somehow, we're searching for a context or a pivoting ground from which we can move. I personally do not like the term people of color or women of color, or it's euphemism. It's trying to pretty up something. I'm a Black woman. I'm a Black woman and I'm from Jamaica and I'm of African descent. Now, what we're starting to look at, as you have alluded to in your question, is we now start to look at stereotypes, biases, and straight up racism, you know? So when we say we identify as Black, what does that mean? For me, that means I'm of African descent. My ancestors came from Africa somewhere. I'm not even going to try and pinpoint that. What is the bias of that? Coming from an island like Jamaica, there are certain suppositions that are made. I'm probably loudmouthed and aggressive. I probably love reggae music. I'm probably a great dancer. The racism of that is all Black people with dreadlocks smoke ganja, straight up. Yeah? So those are sort of the syntaxes and the nuances that one is constantly defying. I go to travel, I try to check in on business class. The woman says to me, am I sure I'm in the right place? I say to her, are you sure you're asking me the right question? So we know all of that. Now, in terms of what is happening, and I think the American issue is the one that's most pronounced for us in terms of the victimhood. I agree with you. We don't do ourselves any service when we continue to identify with labels that have been slapped upon us. But for us to remove those labels, Leah, we got to do some work. We have to do some work. We have to take responsibility for ourselves. One of the things I spoke about earlier on today that nobody dares touch is, you know, the religiosity and the role that that has played. Now, I certainly have a very, very powerful relationship with the God of my understanding, but we've taken on this business of being a sinner, the role that Christianity played in the slave trade. There's a whole pile of shit that's running around that. And so depending on your level of consciousness, that's how you're going to respond to that. If you have been born and raised in the projects where you don't know one step above where the projects is, your reality is like, shit's going to go down. I'm going to burn that XYZ and see what I can get, because we become products of our environment. If I say a similar thing in Jamaica, I remember working in inner city communities in Jamaica, and, you know, the women would say to me, you know, love does not exist in the ghetto, because in the ghetto, I'm trying to feed my next child. And if that means I'm going to use my PUSSY to do that, I'm going to do that. You understand? So there are some really confronting things that we have to look at. And as you and I spoke about that day, Black Lives Matter and this movement will not do what it is meant to do and what it has the power to do unless we put our money where our mouth is. It is as simple as that. And this is why the money piece is such an important conversation in the dialogue about transcending and transforming this, particularly for us, for me as a Black woman and a transformational leader.